Hey, welcome back everyone to the channel. I want to start off by saying I am also on Apple Podcast and Spotify and iHeartRadio and a few others. The links will be in the description box down below if you really want to fall asleep tonight. Good luck. Tonight's video is about the state of Arizona, the Grand Canyon National Park to be precise, where this park ranger has a horrifying tale that he has held in for so long, but he still feels like he needs to express himself and just let it out to relieve some of that weight off his chest. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. During my years as a park ranger, I encountered things that would terrify the most tenacious traveler. However, nothing on God's earth has ever given me as much cause for existential dread as the under tunnels of the Grand Canyon. Those treacherous tunnels were not carved by human hands, and they certainly were not intended for human eyes. I have heard so many tales of uncovered underground passages in the Grand Canyon. It's not a new concept. But there is a difference between a hidden passage and the real under tunnels. I probably should have left this place long ago, but I think I'm far too afraid to leave. Like Pandora's box, once certain things have been learned, they cannot be unlearned. I feel I have an obligation to stay here until my dying day. Besides, no matter how far I might be able to run, it would never be far enough. Who really knows how far the under tunnels stretch? I don't actually work as a park ranger anymore, but I'd like to say that I still perform a service because I frequent the bars and other hospitality attractions of the area. I keep an eye and ear on things. I still hear awful tales. That's how I know I'm not alone. I know there are others who have seen what I saw several years ago. Look, I'm not trying to deter you from coming here. I'm simply saying that you should never seek the horrors that hide in the hovels of the Grand Canyon's lowest points. That only applies to those of you who explored the gorge itself. If you simply want to admire vibrant vistas atop the edges of the canyon, then go right for it. Book a tour. It's well worth the experience. But I would strongly advise against exploring what lies in its depths. Most people never encounter an entrance to the under tunnels, but why would you take that chance? I hope you will respect my privacy, and that's why I'm going to refer to myself as the nickname that my youngest daughter, Eliza, bestowed upon me, Mr. Danger, the park ranger. And he went on adventures with his sidekick, Miss Sunshine, the porcupine. I have always marveled at my daughter's boundless creativity. My wife, Riley, on the other hand, prefers for us to stick to jollier topics. Why do you insensibly fill her head with the idea that you once had such a dangerous job? Riley asked. Because my new job as a financial advisor is so dull in comparison, I replied. Boo, boring, Eliza groaned, making a farting noise. Exactly what I want to say to my boss every day, I said. Before any of you start panicking that I have been traumatizing my 10-year-old daughter with detailed accounts of horrifying things that happened to me, I only tell ghost stories. Never anything real. Stories of trolls in the rocks and alien visitors. Perhaps it helps me to deal with my trauma to create fictional horror stories. Can I tell a spooky story next? Eliza asked. I grinned and said, Go for it, Miss Sunshine. It's the story of the witch who wants, Eliza began. No witches, I firmly stated. And after that conversation, earlier this evening, I was forced to relive the most haunting night of my entire life. The night I spent in the belly of the Grand Canyon, tirelessly hunting for two teenage girls who had gone missing. I hoped and prayed for an easy search and rescue job. I feared that I would find two injured spelunkers in some hard-to-reach crevice. That was the worst-case scenario. I had no concept of the real worst-case scenario. traversing the rocky terrain of the colossal chasm that spans Grand Canyon National Park. I found myself looking at the wondrous walls that rose like earthly skyscrapers above me. At first, I felt soothed and comfortable by the presence. However, as the sun began to set, and my torch became my new guide, those canyon walls shape-shifted into something far more insidious. They no longer felt like warm blankets. They felt like the walls of my coffin. My harrowing thoughts were interrupted by the fluffling wings of the crow that circled above me. I ignored the creature pressing onwards, but I could feel its black eyes boring into the crown of my head. It was watching me as I walked. When I was a park ranger, I liked to think of myself as a man who had a strong affinity with all animals. But that crying crow evoked a frightful feeling in my heart. Even as a whippersnapper on the job, and one who, at the point in my life, hadn't personally experienced anything terrible, my animal instinct was well honed. "Come on, Mr. Danger," I told myself. "You're not about to be bested by a crow, are you? What would Miss Sunshine say if she could see you now?" I clutched my torch tightly in my right hand and started waving it around in a manic, frantic motion, attempting to shoo the bird away. At that moment, I was startled by the sudden sound of footsteps from the darkness ahead of me. With lightning-fast reflexes, I shone the torchlight in the direction of the sound. Somebody emerged from the side of a rock, and their flashlight came into view.
"Steady, it's me," Jack cried. "I thought you might want some help with the search. Any luck? I found something quite promising."
Jack, as I've named him for the purpose of this story, was a fellow park ranger. He was a wizened old fellow, and I always viewed him as a second father figure. He was a little odd, and his jokes often elicited eye rolls, but I'd never been so relieved to see his goofy grin. Hands still trembling, my light erratically danced and darted across the rocks between us.
"No sign of them. You scared the absolute crap out of me, Jack," I sighed. "It's a good job. I wore my brown trousers."
Jack laughed and beckoned for me to follow him.
"So, what's your promising find?" I asked.
"Well, let's just say we'll be home and putting our feet up in no time at all. I think I found the cave system that the two girls must have explored,"
he explained, leading the way.
"It's not one that I recognize, truth be told, but I suppose I might be getting forgetful in my old age. Anyways, I'm almost certain they entered it. There was a campfire by the entrance. Recently burned out. Must be them."
"Shoot," I groaned. "Last thing I want to do at 9 o'clock on a Saturday evening is fish up some dumb, unprepared, injured kids out of a cave."
"Better than fishing some dumb, unprepared, dead kids out of the cave, eh?"
Jack pointed out.
"Let's hope your version of events ends up being the true one."
I solemnly nodded my head, thinking of the countless lives that had been lost in that canyon. Whenever I had cause to moan or groan, I reminded myself of why I had taken that job. I reminded myself of the people I was trying to protect. It was on nights like those that a ranger had to prove their worth. I prayed that we would find two live hikers.
"Huh?" Jack said.
"What?" I asked. As we rounded a tall stack of rocks, my friend scratched his chin thoughtfully, casting his light onto the smoldering pile of sticks. I was looking at the burnt-out campfire, as promised, but there was no sign of the mysterious cave entrance. Just a solid canyon wall, as there has always been in that spot as far as I could recall. I was certain that Jack, who is 30 years my senior, had started to lose his marbles. But none of the park rangers had the heart to tell him to hang up his hat. It was what he loved, the park and the thing that kept him alive.
"I know you're gonna laugh," Jack sighed, "but I'm telling you that the cave entrance was right in this very spot, kiddo. I mean, I was right about the campfire, wasn't I?"
"I wasn't gonna accuse you of lying, Jack," I replied. "It's dark and neither of us can see crap in here. Even with these flashlights, the human mind is a fickle thing. It loves to play tricks, you know that. But let's not despair.
We must be on the right track. You're right about that. The campfire is a good sign.
Yeah, I suppose you're...
Jack stopped, looking at the side of my head.
What?
I asked.
He chuckled. Got a little something on your shoulder, partner.
I swiveled my head to the left and screamed. There, staring back at me with hollow eyes, was the black crow that had been stalking me. It was silently perched on my shoulder. I hadn't even felt it there. It hadn't so much as made a sound or moved in the field of my vision. It was a gaunt, ghastly statue, posing with such stillness that it might as well have been a taxidermy bird. Jack crackled until he wheezed and spluttered. He continued to be of no use whatsoever, while I flailed around in a mad panic, striving to release the creature from my shoulder. Eventually, thankfully, it flew away. I didn't like the entire situation. The disappearing cave entrance, the eerie serene bird, none of it, not one bit. As I said, I have good instincts, and I don't fear animals, for the record. I never have. I care deeply even for nature's most ominous and overlooked creatures. Crows have never bothered me before that fateful night. But that crow was like none I had ever seen before. I didn't know what was wrong with it, but I knew that the mere sight of it filled me with immense horror. It was dangerous, and I'm not talking about fun and mischief that Mr. Danger and Miss Sunshine love. This was real danger. Danger that I had forgotten all about until Eliza reminded me of something that had been hiding in the darkened recesses of my fractured, forlorn mind.
"Wait," Jack said. "It moved."
Suddenly, my park ranger friend was sprinting past me, so I turned to see what stirred him. And then I saw it. On the canyon wall opposite to the one that we had been facing, there was a cave entrance. It was one I was certain I had never seen in that area before, and that made me truly start to question everything. Maybe Jack hadn't lost his marbles. That could only mean something more unsettling was happening. Either we were both incompetent park rangers, or something unnatural had happened.
"Jack," I started, "let's just talk about this for a moment."
Jack had already reached the mouth of the canyon, and he was jubilantly dancing at the entrance. Before I even had a chance to talk about the horrible feeling in the center of my chest, I spotted something that snapped me out of my feverish stupor.
"Jack," I warned.
"Wolf!"
Jack immediately stopped dancing in the entrance and casted his torch onto the large gray wolf that was slinking towards him. It did not growl. It did not make a sound, in fact. It simply took long, purposeful strides towards my frozen friend.
"Easy, buddy," Jack calmly said. "I don't have any treats for you, but I'm not as tasty as I look, I promise. Now, ordinarily, I'd scare you off with rubber bullets, but I'm a little unprepared this event, I have to admit, so I'm warning you not to get too close. Otherwise, you're going to have to get the butt of this torch."
"Jack," I said, speaking with the same air of calmness. "Keep your cool."
"I've been doing this a lot longer than you. Don't worry about..." Ah!
The wolf moved abnormally quickly, pouncing towards Jack, who slammed his torch into the animal's face. The creature, along with Jack's torch, went flying to the ground. It did not whimper or even falter for more than a second. It was calm. Too calm. The wolf simply clambered back to its feet and eyeballed a now torchless Jack. I shone my own flashlight onto the cave entrance, illuminating my defenseless friend and the wolf that had started to prowl towards him once more.
"Jack, just let me," I started. "I have to head into the cave," Jack cried.
In a flash, my reckless ranger companion had sprinted into the cave. The darkness swallowed him and the wolf that was hot on his tail. I ran after the pair of them, lighting up the way with my shaky torch. Entering the passage through the canyon wall, I tried to focus all of my attention on Jack and the wolf, who was already out of sight in the labyrinth of tunnels, but I couldn't help fixating on the peculiar noises that engulfed me. Rocks were shifting, as if the canyon were continuously reshuffling and restructuring itself.
Jack!
I screeched. I tumbled through a hole and cut my elbows on a rocky slope that led down to a sprawling, cavernous opening. I scrambled to my feet and quickly picked up my torch, fearing what I might see in the center of the underground space. In the center of the cave, I expected to see the wolf tearing my friend limb from limb. What I actually saw was far worse because it couldn't be explained. Jack was there, but he was not facing a wolf. He was facing something indescribably horrible. A gangly creature towering over him, skin like a decaying corpse, and limbs twice as long as those of any ordinary human. It was a monstrously magnified version of a person. No, not a person. A witch. A skinwalker, as Native Americans would no doubt call it. The stuff of legends. A monster that I had only ever seen in frightening fables. Not something real, and yet my eyes were telling me a different truth. I could see the thing in my own eyes. The thing that goes by so many different names in so many different places. Still, no matter what name it is given, everybody agrees that it is an unholy thing. An abomination not meant for our world. Death incarnate.
Jack!
I near soundlessly gasped. My friend began to levitate, his writhing body's ascension orchestrated by the gnarling, brittle fingers of the inhuman thing before it. The witch, a silent and serene puppeteer, continued to raise his hand. Utilizing some unseen evil force, he moved my wriggling friend higher and higher into the air, watching his illuminated form in my torchlight. The creature was still as still and unwaving as the crow and the wolf. And that's when I pieced the parts of the puzzle together. I remembered the feeling of being stalked by the crow, those beastly black eyes. A sudden snapping sound broke me out of my disturbing daydream, instead thrusting me into a much more deeply disturbing taste of reality. Jack released a scream that ricocheted off the walls of the enclosed space, as his legs bent the wrong way. The bones broke, one by one, and protruded from the back of his knees, as his calves were pulled up to his waist. His jaw started to droop, and I realized that he was moments away from losing consciousness. As morbid as it sounds, I prayed that he would faint. I prayed that he would not be conscious during his own fatal demise. As the witch began to snap his fingers inwards and contort his body into a box shape, my friend's head finally lolled forwards. Looking at his mangled, compressed form, I realized that he wasn't unconscious. He was dead. At that moment, the rocks on one of the walls crumbled away, revealing a stack of boxes and, surprisingly, a red wooden door. As the witch opened one of the boxes and began to crumple my friend's mangled, desecrated carcass into it, I crept around the back of her. He busied himself with the act of packing his latest victim into a wooden gold-lined treasure box, and he did not seem to notice the torchlight that was moving around him as I inched closer and closer to the red door on the far wall. Stealthily, I made it across the cave and placed my hand on the door handle. The creature screeched. In a blink panic, I swung the door open and closed it behind me. To my utter surprise, I was facing a long, unlit tunnel. The tunnel constructed of red bricks on the walls, floors, and ceiling. The real under tunnels. This was more than just a cave system. It was, I realized, the witch's lair. There's no way I could survive by going backwards, so I had to push forwards. Lighting the way with my torch, I ran blindly through the unlit red brick tunnel, not knowing what I may find around every bend. Suddenly, there were multiple forking passageways. I had no idea which way to go. I just knew that I heard the red door open behind me and heard the slow, steady, still, serene padding footsteps of that thing that brutally massacred Jack.
Help!
The voice cried from a tunnel to my left, so I immediately followed the sound. Cowering in the dead-end fork of the tunnel was a girl. She must have been 18 or 19, fully kitted out in hiker gear, and coated from head to toe in blood. It didn't look like hers.
Oh, thank God, she whimpered. We have to get out of here. The thing is coming for us.
Where's your friend? I asked. The girl's lip trembled.
Alicia? She's gone.
Alicia, so you're Daniela, right? I asked. She nodded.
I'm sorry about your friend, Daniela. I lost somebody too. But we're gonna make it out of here, I promise.
I think we should go back to the red door, Daniela said. We know a way back from there.
I shook my head, helping Daniela to her feet and pointed a finger to my ear, indicating for her to listen. I was trying to show the girl that it wasn't safe to go back the way we came, but I couldn't hear the witch's padding footsteps. I suddenly realized that not hearing her was far worse.
Where was she?
What? Daniela asked. I don't hear him.
That doesn't mean he's not there. Come on, I said.
I led a begrudging Daniela further into the depths of the tunnel, shaking as we rounded every corner. Every time I saw the coast was clear, it was both a relief and a fright. Not knowing where he may be hiding was a horror like no other. And then, from the depths of the brick tunnels, we heard a sound. Crying.
It's a trick, Daniela protested. Don't go towards it.
It sounds like a girl, I said. Maybe Alicia's still alive.
I followed the sound of the crying, thankful for the fact that the tunnel no longer seemed to be forming off into different directions. I was relatively certain that it was more of an interconnected circuit of tunnels rather than a maze. All routes would have led to the same place eventually. A wooden colorless door, and there was crying on the other side.
Daniela sobbed and said, "Don't go in there."
I ignored her, motivated by the sense of duty and perhaps a smudge of stupidity. I bursted through the door and found myself in a cavern much longer than the last one, and thankfully, there was a cave entrance at the far side. I could see the outside world. It was a horribly dark night, but it looked like a glowing beacon of hope. Anything was lighter than the hellish undertunnels of this witch. Casting the light around the cave, I eventually found Alicia, pinned down by rocks on her arms, tauntingly close to freedom. She was staring blankly ahead and bawling her eyes out. When she saw my flashlight, she screamed.
Help!
Alicia wailed.
I'm trapped!
It definitely felt like a trap, but I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I hadn't tried. Moreover, yet again, my instinct was telling me that I was looking at Alicia. It wasn't the witch. I could just feel it in my bones. I darted over to the girl and heaved the rocks from her arms. There were cuts and bruises along her limp limbs, so I hoisted Alicia to her feet. She screeched when she saw Daniela.
"Get away from me!"
Alicia cried.
"Alicia?" Danielle replied. "It's me."
Alicia shook her head and gently nodded at the far wall of the cavern. I turned my head to see what the girl had been eyeballing when I first entered the cavernous room. I was horrified to see a girl's body on the ground, lifeless and twisted into an unimaginable shape. Not just any girl. Daniela. There were two of them. As I turned my torchlight back to Daniela, who had just followed me from the undertunnels, she nonchalantly threw a smile our way. And yet, as calm as she may have been, it was the most unhinged and malicious smile I had ever seen. Alicia and I slowly backed towards the cave exit, watching as the fake Daniela started to grow in height.
Her limbs started to elongate and her hair fell out. Within seconds, I was staring at the horrific creature that had crushed my friend alive.
Run!
I screamed. As we sprinted for the exit, it began to close. The rock shifted around it, slowly shrinking the hole that was our path to freedom. With seconds to spare, Alicia dived through the opening and I followed. Turning to face the closing hole, I caught one final glimpse of the inhuman creature before it was entombed in the wall of the Grand Canyon. I had never told anyone about that tale, and I was a park ranger for many years after that. If anything, understanding that such things exist was my reason for continuing. There are other reasons that I eventually abandoned that line of service. But my duty has never really died. And when Eliza reminded me of witches, I realized it was time to finally tell my story. You may choose to believe me or you may not. None of that matters. But please, I beg you, do not enter the under tunnels of the Grand Canyon.